From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 16th day of April 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. We'll hear about the weather forecast from Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Dave Dickey will be along with a look at the agricultural news. And the state statisticians from Illinois, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Indiana will be here with updates of crop progress and corn planting in their regions. And it all happens on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Learnard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learnard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learnard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
In Chicago on a Tuesday afternoon, futures turned around from the last couple of days, moving sharply higher. In the wheat, the corn, and the soybeans, nearby contract for the May at 703 and a half, then a soft red up 9 3/4, and July harvest wheat at 707 3/4, up 8.5 cents. Kansas City following suit with the lead option or the harvest month July, up 8 3/4 at $7.47 3/4. Settlement prices from the corn pit in Chicago, May futures, 663 1/4, up 16.5. July at 640 3/4, 12 3/4 higher. September at 566 1/4, up 9.5. And December corn at $5.40 3/4, up 8.5 cents. The March at 551, 8.5 cents higher as well. May soybeans at 1411 1/2, up 16.5. July contract there at 1375 1/4 in Chicago, up 19 1/4. August soybeans 1328 1/4, up 14 cents. September at 1260 1/4, 11 3/4 higher. And November soybeans at $12.18 1/2, up 11 3/4. January contract 1225 3/4, up 12.5 cents. Bean meal futures at 401.30, up 8 bucks. Bean oil at 48.98, 80 cents higher. Live cattle futures finished the June at 120.45, 62.5 cents higher. The August at 120.97 1/2, up 57.5. May feeders at 140 1/2, up 25 cents. The August futures at $146.47 1/2 per 100 pounds, finished a dime higher. And the lean hogs at $86.80 in the May contract, a settlement price up 52.5, June at 89.02 1/2, up 42.5. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil futures, May contract down 21 cents, $88.50 a barrel. The RBOB gasoline or wholesale price at $2.77 8/10. That's up 0.2 cents. Ethanol futures trading 241 2/10, and a lead option up 4 1/10 cents. The difference between those two is now 36 6/10 cents. That's 2 cents narrower than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $4.16 9/10, up 3 2/10, and heating oil at $2.80 1/10 cents, down 2 8/10 cents. And the gold futures for the day, $1,386.80, a bit of a rebound after a rough day yesterday, up $26.20. And the U.S. dollar at 81.75, that's down 0.66 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Showers, a few thunderstorms, those mainly will become come before 5 p.m. this evening. And then we'll look at cloudy skies, a high this afternoon of 54 degrees on a northeast wind at about 10 miles an hour. Chance of rainfall this afternoon set at 70%. Tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms, cloudy, a low 46. An east-northeast wind at about 11 miles an hour, gusting to 15. Chance of rainfall this evening at 50%. Showers and thunderstorms continue tomorrow, mainly after 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Cloudy, a high of 71. Tomorrow evening, showers and thunderstorms, a low of 62. On a southeast wind then at 10 to 16 miles an hour, gusting to 21. 70% chance of rainfall on Wednesday night. Showers and thunderstorms continue into Thursday with a high of 74 degrees. On a south-southwest wind at 18 to 21, it'll be breezy, gusting to 26. Chance of precipitation on Thursday, 90%. And then showers and thunderstorms continue into Thursday night. More on the weather at the bottom of the half hour.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
On this Tuesday afternoon, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm UofI Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line, Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
A bit of a nice turnaround for a Tuesday. Tell me what happened in Chicago.
Well, you know, basically, once we saw the gold, silver, and crude and everything quit sliding and maybe a little stabilization in the world markets, why, overnight we saw some end users step in. We saw the reaction to the grains was probably overdone, just an outside market pressure and the basis levels, and the end users step back in and start buying some contracts back today.
So it was the commercials that were in as buyers. That's always a good sign if you want markets to go higher.
It is. And I mean, and basically there was nothing moving, especially after a day like yesterday. And, of course, the bids, the basis bids continued to show that.
All right. Tell me about those basis bids. They have been pretty flat recently.
Yeah, they've been flat, but they've been the highest levels we've had for this time of year for many years. So, you know, it is telling us that old crop is not moving, especially in areas east of the Mississippi. You know, like I say, most of the movement has been from out of Canada and Minnesota, North Dakota, actually, and Illinois, Indiana, and Iowa isn't moving much grain.
Old crop's not moving, new crop not being put in the ground in those areas either. The planters aren't rolling, so that says either the grain's not there or farmers are just stubborn.
It's a little bit of both. I mean, we have very short stocks as compared to usual at this time of year, you know, especially in our area. I can't name a farmer over here that I know has got 10,000 bushels of corn in a bin. And if he does have anywhere close to that, part of it's contracted for later delivery. So it's going to be hard to source grain at this point in time locally.
When we talk to the cash grain folks about the end users, they're thinking that they're covered maybe to June or July. Do you have a different opinion?
I think that they might be into June, but I don't think there's a whole lot of July coverage.
And what will that mean for the old crop marketplace for corn?
Well, it's going to be on what sort of rationing we can do between now and then, and also whether we do see some corn come out of South America in from Argentina up into the U.S., what's going on and, you know, along those lines. But I think we will continue to see the basis stay strong until we feel it. They got enough to get to the new crop.
We're still early in the growing season, but yesterday's corn planting numbers were well behind where they usually are, at least even on the five-year rolling average for the nation. Will that make much of a difference by the time we get to July and August?
The question is, what's the weather going to be for the next 3 to 4 weeks, Todd? If we would turn like the American model says and turn drier after a 7 to 10 day period here and be able to get in the field, no, won't make any difference at all. As we look back the last time that our planting was delayed till basically mid-May, we had 153 bushel average at that point in time. And if you take the acreage assumption, assuming that we get planted like that, that's still between a 1.8 and a 2.2 billion bushel carryout.
Does that tell you that new crop should be sold at some time on the rally?
That's our thoughts along the way here. We're going to wait and give it a little chance to rally back up a little bit, but above the 550 mark and up around that 550 and 570, we want to add some sales.
That's basis Dece?
Basis December.
How about in the soybeans?
In the soybeans, we're going to we'd like to see them get up above 12.5, closer to 12.75, but at that point we feel that it's going to be very prudent to be selling some beans.
Is soybeans a completely different sort of scenario than corn at this time or not?
Well, it is in the respect, as we talked about all this later planting possibly going on, that could be shifting of corn acres to bean acres in some areas, especially in the Dakotas, Minnesota, around those places that don't want to put corn in the ground too late. Also, though, we are seeing a much better export market with the beans now, where corn is just about non-existent. So, you know, the old crop beans do still have good processor margins. They also have good export margins.
You went to the northern part of the Midwest, but let's come around the horn, talk about some of the southern parts of the United States in the Southwest, maybe into Kansas, Oklahoma. Some cold temperatures are expected there for the hard red winter wheat crop.
You know, we've saw some terrible pictures on the internet, and people had sending us pictures around, and some of that did get that extended freeze, Todd. And there is some real questions as to, you know, what that's going to do. Well, can it come out of it? Now, a lot of the cases in the pictures I've seen, it doesn't look like it's going to survive.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us.
Thanks, Todd.
That is Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stewart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stewart-peterson.com.
Hey, don't forget to visit us online when you get the opportunity. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. Here's an update on some agricultural-related legislation in Washington, D.C. An agreement between the United Farm Workers and some key senators has paved the way for the Gang of Eight immigration reform proposal to move forward. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack thinks a guest worker program is a good start.
The key there was to make sure that we had enough folks in that guest worker system to make up the difference between what we have here at a wage level that doesn't suppress the wages and doesn't make it more difficult for those who are legitimately here to get a decent paying job.
Border state officials say immigration reform has to start with border security. Vilsack says the Gang of Eight proposal recognizes that.
In order to have comprehensive immigration reform, you've got to have a secure border, and you also have to have a program that limits the desire or the need for people to skirt the law.
The secretary says the key is a viable guest worker program.
The current system is broken, and as long as it remains broken, agriculture is at risk because we're going to continue to have fewer and fewer people working in our fields. We're going to have more and more produce, more and more product that won't be harvested or won't be grown or raised simply because we don't have the workforce to produce it.
Of the 1.1 million immigrant workers in the country today, Tom Vilsack estimates that as many as 700,000 may be here illegally.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Here's your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey, with more agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the International Monetary Fund today lowered its outlook for the world economy this year, predicting that government spending cuts will slow U.S. growth and keep the Euro Currency Alliance in recession. The Global Lending Organization has cut its forecast for global growth to 3.3% this year, down from its forecast in January of 3.5%. The IMF expects the U.S. economy to expand 1.9% this year. That's below its January estimate of 2.1% and last year's U.S. growth of 2.2%. The head of one of the world's largest commodity trading firms has called on his industry to commit to a sense of shared responsibility to avoid the enforced regulation such as that is experienced by the banking industry. Gregory Page, chief executive of Cargill, says that commodity trading is experiencing a perception problem in the eyes of the public, many of whom think of trading as inherently bad and associate the word with speculation, hoarding, and volatility. Page says that volatility is a positive for the market, but made a distinction between that and turbulence, which leads to what he calls outsized price reactions in consumer goods such as food. Restaurant owners in China are saying that Chinese consumers are eating less meat following news of the latest avian flu outbreak. Local meat prices keep falling. The price for chicken legs dropped 22% in 1 month. Pork prices have also fallen 33% in the last month. The H7N9 avian influenza outbreak has killed at least 11 people and sickened 43. Scientists have not figured out how the virus spreads from poultry to people, and that's generating concern and precaution among Chinese consumers. Chinese health authorities today report that the H7N9 virus has been found in wild pigeons. According to the Ministry of Agriculture, the strain of virus detected in the wild pigeons appears identical to the type found in farm-raised pigeons at a food stall in Shanghai on April the 4th. U.S. temperatures in March were the coldest for the month in 11 years, a chilly turnaround from the warmest ever temperatures a year ago. Temperatures averaged 40.8 degrees Fahrenheit in the month, which was also 9-tenths of a degree below the 20th century norm. In March of 2012, temperatures averaged 51.1 degrees, 8.6 degrees above normal. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Well, yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the first numbers on corn planting around the nation for the season. In its weekly crop progress report, nationally, it showed that 2% of the corn crop has been planted. The five-year rolling average is 7%. Iowa, by the way, is 0% planted. Normally, it's at 3%. The rest of the state statisticians have sent along their audio reports for the week. We'll start with Illinois.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. I'm reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending Sunday, April 14th. Last week was almost 3 degrees warmer than usual for this time of year and quite a bit wetter than normal as well. The statewide average temperature for the week was 2.9 degrees above normal. Only the two northernmost districts had below normal temperatures for the week. The other seven districts were up to 5 degrees above normal. Rainfall was above normal across the state. Northern areas averaged 1 to 2 inches of rain above the norm, while southern areas were typically about 1/4 inch above normal. As a result of last week's rain, soil moisture supplies increased in Illinois. Topsoil moisture is currently rated 1% very short, 4% short, 70% adequate, and 25% surplus. Subsoil moisture supplies are rated 4% very short, 17% short, 75% adequate, and 4% surplus. Only 1.5 days were suitable for field work last week. Primarily, producers spent time preparing equipment and tending livestock. Some time was used to apply anhydrous ammonia and also to do some limited planting of corn and oats. However, cold and wet soils are slowing planting progress across the state. The state has reached 1% complete on corn planting, compared to 38% last year and 12% normally. Oats planting has reached 26% complete, compared to 93% last year and 57% for the five-year average. The winter wheat crop is rated as 3% in very poor to poor condition, 20% in fair condition, and 77% good to excellent. Pasture conditions are improving and are currently rated as 10% very poor to poor, 32% fair, and 58% good to excellent. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Scott Keller with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office, with the Crop Progress Report for the week ending April 14, 2013. Precipitation in the form of rain, snow, and even hail crossed the state, with many locations receiving 1 to 3 inches of moisture during the week. This boosted topsoil moisture supplies, but it shut down spring fieldwork activities. Temperatures for the week averaged 8 to 16 degrees below normal, stressing young calves and making livestock care difficult. Pastures continued to show little spring growth, resulting in livestock producers drawing on already short forage supplies. Topsoil temperatures declined and were in the low 40s in many eastern and southern counties. Wheat conditions rated fair to poor. The amount of wheat acreage jointed was only 3% behind both last year and average, and oats planted were at 58% with 10% of the crop emerged. This is Scott Keller with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, the Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Dan Lofta, State Statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report. Winter weather conditions were persistent during the week. A noteworthy storm brought widespread heavy snow, rain, and ice late in the week. High winds caused tree damage and power outages in the southwest Minnesota. The snow-covered fields in the northern part of the state are not showing signs of significant melting. This continues to worry farmers about the potential for flooding from rapid snowmelt. However, the consistent rain and snow did provide much-needed topsoil moisture relief where the soil would allow for absorption. Farm activities included spring calving, equipment maintenance, and purchasing supplies. For the week ending April 14th, only 0.1 days were rated suitable for fieldwork statewide. This compares with last year's 5.0 days. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 5% very short, 17% short, 61% adequate, and 17% surplus. Subsoil moisture supplies were rated 23% very short, 43% short, 31% adequate, and 3% surplus. Producers anticipate full-scale field work statewide to begin on May 1st. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Hello, this is Andy Higgins with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NAS, and this is the Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending April 14th. Total precipitation ranged from 0.69 to 4.18 inches, leaving only 2.8 days suitable for fieldwork during the week. Temperatures ranged from 1 to 10 degrees above normal, with a low of 31 degrees and a high of 85. Heavy rain showers arrived midweek, leaving soils too muddy for fieldwork across most of the state. Less than 1% of the intended corn acreage has been planted at this time, compared with 21% last year and 6% for the five-year average. Only a few scattered fields of soybeans have been reported to be planted so far this spring. The winter wheat crop has come out of dormancy in mostly good to excellent condition, and most of the acreage has been top-dressed with nitrogen at this point. 4% of the winter wheat acreage has jointed, compared with 53% last year and 24% for the five-year average. Livestock are reported to be in mostly good condition at this time. However, a higher-than-average calving mortality rate has been reported on some operations. Pastures have finally greened up and are now showing some regrowth. This has allowed some cattle operations to slow down on the feeding of a fairly tight hay supply. This is Andy Higgins reporting.
Our thanks to the state statisticians for those updates. A couple of other items in the crop progress reports. Last week, Iowa received 2.9 inches of rainfall on average across the state. Nebraska, 1.3 inches. And of course, as you heard from Minnesota, it snowed. The expected three-day rainfall totals this week, by the way, from today until Thursday, across Illinois and Iowa for much of that two-state area, is about 3 inches or above. You can find out more on our website. We've got an update there at willag.org. Look in the ag notes. Speaking of the weather, in just a couple of minutes, I'll be back. We'll talk with meteorologist Don Day about the weather forecast for the Midwest, right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
It's National Eggs Benedict Day. There are differing accounts of the origin of Eggs Benedict, but the most likely origin comes from Elizabeth David's French Provincial Cookbook, where she describes a puree of refreshed salt cod and potatoes spread on triangles of fried bread and topped with a poached egg and hollandaise. It's also St. Magnus Day, He is the patron saint of fishmongers. On this day in agricultural history in 1864, Thomas Blanchard died. An American inventor, Blanchard made major contributions to the development of machine tools. At age 13, he developed an apple paring machine. Eventually, he invented the famous lathe that bears his name. The lathe can turn irregular forms, and it revolutionized a number of industries. In 1880, Donald Forsha Jones was born. Jones was an American geneticist and agronomist who experimented with corn. In 1917, he invented the double-cross method of hybrid seed production, which solved a problem in producing useful uniform strains, while at the same time increasing yield and vigor. And in 1941, the original Elsie the Cow died. Elsie the Cow was originally a cartoon character appearing in ads for Borden Milk. At the 1939 New York World's Fair, when people began asking where Elsie was, Borden's picked a cow originally named Yuldulobelia from their herd to be Elsie. Elsie starred in commercials, made personal appearances, and even starred in an RKO movie, Little Men. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming, is here to take up a crazy weather forecast for a large part of the nation. Let's start in your part of the world where you've been in need of precipitation, but I suppose you didn't expect to get it this month in the form of so very much snow.
Yeah, and a lot of people are saying that in the northern plains states, from Minnesota to the Dakotas to Nebraska to portions of the northern and central Rockies, where it's not unusual to have April snows, but the second major storm in less than 8 days has hit those areas. But silver lining is some of the really hardest hit drought areas of portions of Colorado, Wyoming, Nebraska, and the Dakota is going to benefit again from a late season snow. And we're going to be watching this same system slowly at first, but accelerating towards the Midwest and the Western Corn Belt here later this week. And we could see significant rains in portions of Missouri, Illinois, Iowa, eastern areas of Kansas. There's going to be severe weather with that, but there's going to be beneficial rains as well.
But, Don, we saw significant rains last week. We're seeing significant rains right now or will shortly this week and another set after that?
Well, yeah, we're going to stay busy. Now, I think this next system that's coming later this week won't be followed by one as big. But other smaller systems are going to come through to keep the weather pattern active. So there will continue to be some high probabilities for precipitation and in some of the hardest hit areas of the Central Plains. We don't have much help for West Texas. We don't have much help for New Mexico and some of the far southern plains, but elsewhere there will be some help. But one thing we need to talk about is the potential for hard freeze temperatures later this week in some of the wheat areas of Texas, southern areas and western areas of Oklahoma, maybe a little bit too cold for their liking in some of those locations.
How cold?
Well, we're looking at temperatures that will be down into the upper 20s, as far south as the Texas-Oklahoma panhandle areas, and that'll be something that needs to be watched later this week.
And very quickly come back right here to the Midwest. You told me there was a big storm. How much rainfall and when?
Well, I think we are looking at rainfall amounts that could go 1 to 3 inches or more. And this would cover just about all of northern and western areas of Indiana, all of Illinois, most of Missouri, and most of southern and eastern Iowa and southern Wisconsin. There will be 1 to 3 inch rainfall amounts in all of those areas.
And it's falling on which days this week?
Well, probably as we get into Thursday, Friday, although I think as early as tomorrow night, we'll start to see the first push.
All right. Thank you so much. Anything from around the globe we should check in on before I let you go?
Eastern Asia, a lot of the weather that's going on over there is a lot like here right now. They're still cold and trying to have a hard time warming up in Europe, just like we are.
Okay. Thanks so much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, and helps us wrap up this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.